The message this morning, you just simply free indeed. Amen. I don't know about y'all, but I like the idea of being free indeed. Amen. Praise God. John chapter 8, begin reading with verse 31. And then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin in the servant of sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. And in the Son, therefore, shall make you free. Ye shall be free indeed. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for your love, for your mercy. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house by the power of your divine grace. I believe you to move, Lord, with the power of your love, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look him right in the eye and say, hey, you're beautiful. And I'm glad to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. I got two men behind me here that's disobedient, but they're both honest. Glory. I heard y'all cutting up. You asked for that. Glory. Amen. You notice I didn't say nothing to either one of them either. Several years ago, a park ranger in the Rocky Mountains was off in the mountains on a thing he was doing for his company, and a storm caught him. He got lost in the storm, got trapped, couldn't find his way out. Running in the snow, he was soaking wet, the temperature had dropped immediately, and he finally found his way to a cabin. With the last little bit of energy he had, he crawled into the cabin and got the door open and got inside, but he was so given out and so overtaken by the cold that had surrounded him that he simply laid on the floor, never started a fire, never even closed the door. Sometime during the night, before he finally limped into a complete coma, a Saint Bernard came in. Now, it just happened to be out there, and it didn't have whiskey around his neck. I can see some of y'all going, yeah, that's what happened. No, he said the dog came in and literally began to lick on him and push on him till it woke him up enough that he got up, closed the door, started a fire, and he and the dog both survived. He, man, maybe the dog was smart enough to know he couldn't start a fire. And they survived. But he said, you know the real weird part about it, when they were talking to him later, he said, even though I knew I was freezing to death, I felt so comfortable and warm that I did not want to get up off of that floor and do anything. I was just so comfortable in where I felt because his body was trying to warm itself. And he said, that because I was sitting there and literally going to die thinking everything was wonderful and I didn't want to change a bit of it. You know, it occurred to me today that there are a lot of people who are in a state of ill with God, who have allowed sin to take over their life. And even though they need to get rid of it, they feel warm and comfortable and feel like everything's all right and I can abide with this. And let me tell you something, friend. One of the greatest lies of the devil is it's okay to sin as long as you go to church. Hello? There's a doctrine being preached that has no biblical background whatsoever called once you're saved, you're always going to be saved, and there's nothing you can do to take yourself out of the presence of God. Can I tell you, I can give you one verse of scripture, Hebrews 10:26. If a man willfully sin after he come to the knowledge of truth, there remaineth no longer a sacrifice for that sin. Even in the book of Revelation said, if you have gone wrong and sinned, then you must repent, do your first works over. Hello? You say, preacher, you're advocating everybody's perfect. No, I'm not. I'm trying to tell you that there comes a place in your life where sin no longer dominates you to the point you have to sin every day you live. And you have to do wrong. There comes a time when your conscious life gets so involved with God that you make right choices instead of bad choices. And you turn your heart over to God so that God can use you. Could you say amen to that? Praise God. If you don't, I'll amen myself. I'm preaching the truth. Amen. Amen. One of the chief forces behind Martin Luther's reform of the church was the Vatican sale of indulgence to raise funds for the building of St. Peter's Cathedral in Rome. They were selling out all kind of ungodly junk to make money to build a church for God. And Luther said, wait a minute, there's got to be somewhere where you can find a place to live for God and not have to go with all this kind of junk and have all this in your life and call yourself a child of God. You say, preacher, do you believe that? Listen, the Bible tells in the 33rd verse, listen to what they said. They answered him, we are Abraham's seed, and we have never been in bondage to any man. Church, where are these people right now? They're dominated by the Roman Empire. They can't move without Roman permission. Yet they say, we are not in bondage to anybody. Why say you were free? There are a lot of people today that are dominated by the things of this world, and they're sitting around trying to tell me, oh, but I'm free. No, if there's something controlling you and sin is in your life and running rampant and you do things wrong on a regular basis, you need to get on an altar and say, God, I need your help. Because if you'll hide the word of God in your heart, it will set you free. And when you're free, you are free indeed. Glory. See, before you're saved, you have an Adamic nature. Those of you, what that means, that simply means you got the nature of Adam. That is, you're going to do wrong just because you're supposed to. Hello? Come on, don't look at me. Babies will lie to you. Can't talk, but they'll cry like they're dying till you pick them up. Ain't anything wrong with that young one that wants your attention. Didn't know how to get it no other way, so they'll cry like they're dying. As soon as you got them up. Somebody tell them, my baby don't lie. You just did. Your baby like everybody else's baby. Hello? Come on, church. It's natural before you give your life to Christ to do things wrong. Before I got saved, I didn't think nothing about what I was doing. I'd seen nothing wrong with it. Hello? I'd get invited to church, say, we having a singing. I said, we have one up the bar every Friday and Saturday night. Don't look at me like that, church. I got a brother took me on for a personal pledge of salvation. He thought if he'd get me saved, he could change the whole world. And man, he'd work on me. He'd come to see me, and I had one song. It was a song that had a lot of bad stuff in it. I'd turn it on, run it wide open. He wouldn't even come in the room. He'd stand out. That way I went off to listen to him invite me to church, because I didn't want to go to church. I didn't want to get down there with them people. That's crazy. I mean, I've been Baptist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Catholic, Methodist, Nazarene, but I wasn't going to the Church of God. Them folk run around the building outside and go crazy and do stuff. I wasn't about to go down there. He told me, oh, you need to come to church. Then lo and behold, in a messed up state one night, I don't stumble in the back of that church, drinking them at the hunting club, trying to buy moonshine. And he ended up in the altar and got saved that night. Amen. I remember last week I bumped into a young man. He said, you know, my dad still talks about the night you got saved. He was a pastor of the Buell Church of God. He said, I was right in the middle of my sermon. Said, this little boy come in, sat down, and said, I'm sitting there watching him. He said, everybody in the church is looking because everybody was kin to me. The only person that building didn't know who I was a pastor. He'd been trying to visit me for 4 months. I dove out windows, went out the back of a grocery store. I'd done everything because I didn't want to meet that preacher. I didn't want to talk to him. I didn't want to have nothing to say to him. I didn't want nothing to do with him. And now I'm sitting back there. I never forget, years later, he said, I had to ask somebody who you was. And said, then when you came to the altar, you purposely went to the other side of the building to get away from me. I said, I sure did. I said, I also went over there by that side door thinking I'd get out before you got to me. Hello? Why? Because I liked the state I was in. I had no idea I was dying and on my way to hell, that my whole life was messed up. Just that afternoon, I tried to commit suicide because I was tired of the life, but I wasn't ready to give it up. I just wanted to move on to another world. Thank God for a preacher who had enough sense to just stop and say, I want everybody to come to the altar. I ended up in the corner of that altar thinking I'd shoot out the side door. And no matter what I was thinking, God was thinking something else. He put me where I was for one reason. There was plenty of room for folks to get around me. Amen. Because I'd never been to a Church of God. I didn't know they could pray for you without the preacher. I knelt down all of a sudden. I got people around me. I know who they are, but I'm scared to death. They're jumping up, reaching over and slapping me in the head going, oh, God. And I'm down there going, oh, God. But I'm going to tell you something. That night I found something. I played church. I played religion. I played Christianity. I bounced in and out of churches that were kind I liked to go to because they'd warn you. Preacher, get up. So I feel the Spirit of God in the building. I'd go out the back door. They ain't mentioned the Spirit of God that night, and I got caught. Glory. Amen. I ended up in the altar. I got saved. God delivered me. I come out of that building. Listen, I went in that building a drug addict, an alcoholic. I left that building delivered by the power of God. And I am not ashamed to tell you I've got a God that can deliver you. I got a God that can bring you out of the deepest, darkest recesses of this world and give you joy that is unspeakable and full of glory if you'll just let him loose in your life. There are so many people just like those men and those Jews. I've never been in bondage. When you're tied up right now and you got nowhere to go, But I got a God that said, if you'll come to me, I'll loose the chains that bind you. I'll set you free through the power of Almighty God. And he whom the Son of God hath made free is free indeed. Woo! Notice this. Number one, if you abide in my word, John 18:31, then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on him, if you continue or abide in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. In other words, he said, if when you get saved, you start reading the most unread book in the Bible, in the world, the most unread book in Church of God's. Hello? If you will start reading the book and abide in my word, John 15, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Somebody said, well, preacher, I'm praying for something. You know, I've learned if I'm in the word of God, I won't pray for things out of the will of God for my life. Hello? Come on, church. Why? Because if I'm abiding in the word's helping me understand how to pray and what to pray for. Hello? And therefore, if I do that, I can believe God's going to do it. Listen, Psalms 119 and 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know what I believe? I believe if you abide in the word, it'll teach you how to walk. It'll teach you how to talk. It'll show you ways to go. It'll give you victory in the darkest hour of your life. That word will bring you joy like never before. Come on, church. Amen. When I first got saved in the Church of God, there were a lot of things people said, and they just took for granted. Everybody knew the meaning. You ever heard this? You got the victory? That was big in the Church of God, and I got saved. I mean, you know, I got in the Church of God, everything new to me. I've never been a Pentecostal church in my life. I got saved. Next thing I know, this guy said, you need to get sanctified. I said, what's that? He said, I don't know, but you need it. Glory. I finally went to the altar one night, and they jerked me around, snatched me around, danced all over the place with me, and finally said, whoa, you sanctified. I said, hallelujah, I got it. Glory. I didn't know what I had, but I figured I had it. Next night, that boy said, you need the Holy Ghost. I said, what's that? He said, I don't know, but you need it. Glory. Now, I hope he's figured that out since he pastored a church in Alabama. Amen. But he's a good friend of mine even to this day. But he was my spiritual guide. It's kind of like the blind leading the blind. Amen. He'd been in church all of his life, so he understood it. He didn't know how to explain it to me, but he understood it. I never forget, I didn't get the Holy Ghost that week, but there's a revival at Cody, Alabama. Now, church, some of y'all ain't never heard of Buell till I showed up. But most of you ain't never heard of Cody either, because Cody's out in the sticks from Buell. And I went to that church. It's in the Belt community in Fayette County in the middle of nowhere. It's an old logging road got paved, and there's a church built on it. And I went to that church, and God filled me with the Holy Ghost. I left that place wide open. I didn't know how to contain it. You know, I'm not like some of y'all. I didn't know how to turn the faucet off. I've seen some of y'all. Y'all sit there. No, I got kin folks. I can't shout tonight. I ain't never found my valve. If it pops, I just go with it. And back then it was worse. I shouted all the way home, and I was driving. I had one girl said she prayed through on the way home. Glory. Because we were all over the place in that car. Got to the car parking, I jumped out in the car and started shouting around the car. An old fella across the road called my mama, said, Miss Stroop, your boy down here drunk. He done fell off the wagon. I knew he wouldn't make it. Glory. Now, he was Church of God. He ought to know better. Yeah, I went to a district fellowship meeting. Y'all don't remember them either, but we used to have those where everybody in the district get together once a month and have church. Now they're afraid they won't bring their members back, so they won't go. Glory. Hell, I went to that district fellowship meeting, and Brother Leroy Smith, pastor at the Cocoa Church, a guy walked up, slid his arm around, and said, boy, you got the victory? I said, man, if it's better than the Holy Ghost, let's just go on. We ain't having church. I'm going to altar now. I mean, I absolutely got to thinking every time you went to church, they had something else you could get. You know, the truth of the matter is, you will never get everything God's got for you. It just ain't got a name. Just come to the house of God seeking, and God will give you something extra every time you show up. Could you say amen? Glory. I got to hurry, because some of you don't want to be here all day. Glory. Y'all having a picnic this afternoon. Notice number two, if you know truth, it will set you free. This is what he said. He said in his when he's talked to him, he said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Hello? Listen, John 18:37. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou the king then? Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for the cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness of the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Pilate said unto him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said unto them, "I find in him no fault at all." Amen. You say, "Preacher, what are you getting at?" I'm trying to tell you. He's trying to figure out what truth is, and he's standing in the very presence of truth. He's standing in the one who is the embodiment of truth. My Bible tells me, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then that Word became flesh, and it dwelt among men." John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said to them, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me." What Jesus was trying to say was, Pilate's answer was standing right in front of him, and he didn't see it. Can I tell you, some of you need to understand, you got to know the truth, and to know the truth, you got to let go of the past. And if you can let go of yesterday, you got a tomorrow like you ain't never believed. But as long as you keep holding on to those little kingdoms you won't let go of, you're never going to be delivered through the power of God. But if you'll let the truth abide in you and let the love of God begin to move in you, it'll show you the way that'll bring you peace that pass all understanding. Could you say amen? You say, "Preacher, do you believe that?" I sure do. Freedom from sin. Paul was confronted greatly in the book of Romans about sin. Paul, probably the most educated of all the New Testament men, might be why he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He was the only one who had a seminary degree. Yeah, I've been to both. They're a lot alike. And just a bunch of things sitting there watching somebody talk. Glory. Hello. I was in seminary class in Cleveland one time. The professor come back, kicked my chair. He said, "Why are you asleep?" I said, "Because you're boring." I actually got out of that class. Glory. Amen. He did promise me he wouldn't let me take another, and he gave, though. But notice this. Paul's dealing with it. And, you know, we got people say, "Preacher, long as you're here, you got to sin every day." Y'all have heard that, haven't you? Well, Paul deals with that. 7th chapter. "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then in the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh I serve the law of sin." But notice he didn't stop there. How many of you understand that the letters, the book of Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, those are letters written to churches. They didn't have chapter breaks in them. When the monks were translating, they put in the chapter break. Now, any common horseman's person understands you don't make a chapter indention if you're in the middle of a statement. But they did it at the end of that 7th chapter, and they left us hanging where it sounded like Paul was saying, "Long as I'm in the flesh, I'm going to live like the flesh. Ain't nothing I can do about it." But that is nothing like what he said. He begins the 8th chapter by saying, "There is therefore now no condemnation of them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For the law of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free of the laws of sin and death." Could you say amen to that, church? What's he saying? He said, "Once I got born again, old things passed away, all things become new. The old man went away, a new creature born in the Spirit has now taken over me, and I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I live in him, by him, and through him. And I am more than a conqueror through him who hath loved me." Could you say amen? Romans tells us that we can have that power and that grace to be overcomers. According to the word of God, we're no longer subject to the sin that abides in, if we abide in the word. Listen, this is, I'm getting a little tedious, but I want you to pay attention to what it says. I'm not giving you Ken Stroop doctrine. I'm giving you word of God. That's all I go by. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we all have fellowship one with the other, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. But if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." And the second verse, or next verse, says, "But my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is our propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but also for the sin of the world. For hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Then he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, a lie, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. And he that saith, ye abide in him, ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Go on down to the third chapter, 1 John gets a little more specific. He that committeth sin is of the devil, and the devil sinneth in the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And whosoever is born of God doth not sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now, church, that ain't Church of God doctrine. That's black and white in the book. What it says is, if I get right, sin's not a nature to me anymore. My nature is to live right. I have to go against my nature to do sin. And that's what I believe the scripture defines sin as, a willful transgression of God's law. I'm going to know it's wrong and go ahead and do it anyway, and then I've got to repent. But even when I'm dumb enough and hard-headed to do it, he said, I have an advocate with the Father, and if I repent right then and make it right, it's going to be under the blood. But if I don't, I've got to worry about that sin coming back to haunt me. Come on, church. I don't know why y'all ain't shouting. This is the truth. See, people like that, once saved, always saved, because it just gives them a license to go on and sin, do what they want to. I run into people ain't been to church in 20 years talking about their outfit. Oh, 20 years ago, I got saved. What have you done for him lately? I had one preacher I was talking to him about, and he said, I wouldn't believe in it, but I got kin folks died in sin. If I don't make some way for them, they're all going to go to hell. Can I tell you, if they died in sin, ain't nothing he going to do change anything for them. Come on, church. I'm going to close in just a moment. Romans chapter 6, if you have your Bibles, turn with me. It should be on the screen behind me. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized unto Jesus Christ, were baptized unto his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even also we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, and the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For that he is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead in Christ, we believe that also we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but he that liveth, he liveth unto God. The 22nd verse said, but now being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know what it said? If I get the blood applied to my life and I die to this world, I come alive in the spirit, and once I'm alive there, I can live forevermore in the love of Jesus Christ. Could you say amen? Preacher, do you believe in eternal security? Yes. I just don't think it's unconditional. I think once you get saved, you can stay that way. You just got to pay the price to do it. You can't live any way you want to. And I'm a Christian. And I got to tell them, say, don't matter what I do in this world, Jesus is my Lord, and I'm saved, and I'm going to heaven. Let me ask you something. If God turned his back on Jesus on the cross because of our sins and not his, who are you to think you're going to stand in front of him and he's just going to overlook what's in your life? Come on, church. I know this is kind of hard, but this is the truth. And we got some folks who need to take a long look in the mirror and ask themselves, am I really what I think I am? Well, preacher, I don't have to listen to you. No, but I'm giving you word. And that's what we're all going to be judged by. It's not a doctrine, which some of that stuff you believe is a doctrine. I'm giving you scripture to back up what I'm telling you. Can I tell you, church, when you get to the eternities of God, the scripture bears witness that no sin shall enter in to that kingdom. Pray tell, where are you going to get rid of it if you die and sin in your life? You hadn't got rid of it here. Because it's appointed unto man once to die and then judgment. There's no place called purgatory. That's a figment of somebody's imagination. It's written in the doctrine of a book, but it's after the first 67 books. It's in the last 31, which are written by their preachers that tell you there's a place over there called purgatory. And if you die, you can pay enough penance and they'll pray you out of it. And you can go on to eternity because you've been to purgatory. There is no purgatory. When you die, you're going to face God like you died. And the only hope you have is that I have been justified by faith through grace in Jesus Christ. And my sins are under the blood of Calvary. Say, well, preacher, you act like everybody has to repent. I've had to get in an altar many times. Say, God, look, I messed up. And I need you to help me make it right. And I had to go back and do it over. Because I was learning and I'm still learning. And I still may mess up every once in a while. But I found it's just like walking. When I first started walking, I fell a lot. But the longer I walked, the easier it was to stay on my feet. And I found the longer I live for him and the more I read that word, it's easier for me to go longer stints of time without messing up. But I have found when I start closing that Bible and get so busy I can't pray, I open the door for the devil to begin thoughts in my mind and things in my life that I don't need. Hello? I believe with all my heart that he whom the Son of God makes free can be free. Sin no longer has to dominate your life. You can be delivered. I've seen satanic priests delivered. I've seen coven witches delivered. I ain't talking about play people. I'm talking about the real stuff. In my revivals, I got into a coven in Clay County and the priest got saved. 28 members of that coven got saved before the week was out and delivered from all type of addictions. It all started when the secretary, his witch, had gotten saved and delivered in a revival in Lineville, Alabama, and got healed of a broken back where she had tried to commit suicide. And he actually showed up at church to mess up a church service. I had no clue who he was. The Spirit of God moved, and I walked in front of him and said, "Son, why don't you give your heart to God?" And that boy began to cry and to tremble. He started looking, trying to get out the door. And about that time, he jumped up and threw his arms around me. And two of the preachers visiting thought he was trying to take me down and came to help me. And when they realized he was crying, they helped me. They helped me pray that boy through to old-time salvation. He gave his heart to God, denounced Satan. Amen. I'm talking about he was an ordained bishop in the satanic church. We're not talking about somebody just claimed to be a Satan preacher. He'd been to California and had been anointed by Anton LaVey himself. And he was there with a coven of several hundred kids in the area of Clay County. And I'm telling you tonight, I've seen God deliver him. And I don't think there's anybody so far removed that God can't give them peace and God can't give them joy and God can't take the sin of their life and cast it away and suddenly see them as a new creature in him. It doesn't matter how old or how young you are, when you come to him saying, "God, I love you, and it is from your heart." And the Bible said you confess your sins to him. He is a just God, able to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you of the unrighteousness of your life and to give you a joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. Would you stand with me all over the house? Father in heaven, I thank you this morning, God, for your undying word that touches and moves in our lives today. God, I believe you to minister with the outpouring of your Spirit. Touch us with your glory and your power. God, I am believing you today. Move in this altar with your touch. Touch us with your power. God, every person, every heart, every life that does the sound of my voice, move on us, God, with your love and your mercy. Minister, God, with your grace. God, it is in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.